God bless you. I would like to start this morning by reading some excerpts from the Psalms. So I'm starting with Psalm 59. But I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you, for you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. The second excerpt is from Psalm 99, 1-7. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praises to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds his hands in the depths of the earth and the mightiest of mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he has made it. His hands have formed the dry land too. Come, let us bow down and worship him. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. So I would like to encourage you and welcome you this morning. Before I hand over to Nick, I would just like to encourage you where it says in the word, fear not. Fear not. God bless you, and here's Pastor Nick with the sermon.
Hello everyone, God bless you all. We are now in this time of the digital technology, so because of the situation being in Macedonia and in the world in these days, we choose today to share the Word of God with you through Facebook's Live. We'd like to encourage each of you, wherever you are, to focus on this period of time, focus on your relationship with God, focus in this period of time, focus on the family, reading, feeding your soul. There are not so many things that can be done in this time, but I believe this crisis with coronavirus, there is also some advantage of this. There are many negative things, a lot of disadvantage, a lot of hard times, but I feel this is something that God is speaking through this to all of us to stop and to look to him for help, for blessing and for power, and to look for his grace. God bless you, all of you, and I would like in this morning to share with you a couple of thoughts from the book of Philippians. As you know, we are finishing the book of Philippians today, and we have the last text, and I would like to share with you that the Word of God is not for information, but is for transformation. So it will be so beautiful in this day to look to the Word of God and to ask ourselves, God, what you're speaking to us today through your Word. Oh Lord, what we can do today to know you more. So let's open the Bibles together to the book of Philippians. We're going to open from the chapter 4. I'm going to read from the verse 10 to 23. The book of Philippians, chapter 4, from the verse 10 to 23. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again through your surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me.
Amen.
Nevertheless, you have done well that you share it in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received it from Epaphroditus, the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in the glory by Christ Jesus. Now, to our God and Father, be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of the Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We'd like today to speak about the text that we have read it here, and the title of this message, I call it like this: The Godly Way of Giving Will Enrich the Giver and the Receiver. The Godly Way of Giving Will Enrich the Giver and the Receiver. As you know, Paul, he was one of the greater apostles of Jesus Christ that the world have known. And in this text, the Bible speaks about giving. And we'd like to put a question today, and then we're going to find the answer in this text that we just read. How we can accomplish spiritual blessing through giving? How we can give in such a way that we can be blessed? How we can give in such a way that will please God? So everyone today is giving. If we look in our lives, we are giving many times to all kind of organization. We are giving many times for our needs. We are giving everywhere. In the same time, we have from everywhere people asking for. So if it's something that we like to see today, is God speaking? Is God interested about giving? Is God interested about our principles when we want to give? Yes, for sure. So we'd like to speak today about three things when it's about giving. And all these three things, we have read it here, and we see this in the principles which we see in the life of Paul. First of all, we know that Paul, he was very hesitant to accept financial contribution. So we have many other texts in the Bible, like 1 Corinthians 9 from 4 to 18, 2 Corinthians 11 from 7 to 10, Thessalonians 2, 5 to 9, and other texts also, that we see that Paul, he was in the same time working many times, but in the same time he get also contribution from the church for his ministry. And we saw that Paul saw beyond the physical act to the spiritual transition taking place. When Paul, he was thinking about giving, he was not just seeing the material parts and the physical parts of giving, but he was also looking to the spiritual side of giving. And even in we know other thing about Paul, even in acknowledging their support, he servant attitude surface, he thought of their growth and blessing. When Paul, he was in this partnership with the church of Philippians, he look not to their gifts, but he look mostly to their spiritual growth. And giving to him, it was a part of their spiritual, and it was a part of their blessing, and it was a part of their ministry towards God. So coming now in the subjects about giving, I would like to share with you three principles. First of all, giving must to be done to the right receiver. To who to give? And look in the verse 11. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in every circumstance. I have learning the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance in need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Giving must be done to the right receiver. Paul, when it was about giving, he looked at his life and he was sharing with the Church of Philippians, I can do everything through Christ who strengthened me. The right receiver, how we can find the right way that we can give to. First of all, we need to pray and to be led by God in our giving. You know, many times, many people will ask us, hey, help this, invest in this project, do this or do the other. I think it's very important to pray to God, to listen His voice, and to ask Him practically, God, where I should invest myself, my financial, all of that. So we need to pray to God and to ask God to lead us in our giving. First of all, it's good to give to the ministry which will make the kingdom of God grow. If I'm looking to the life of Paul, Paul was making the kingdom of God to grow. Through his life, he was making a difference. Paul, he was empowered by God, suffering for the gospel, and was ready to pay any price that the gospel to be preached. It's wise to give to the workers, which as Paul, they find their commitment in Christ and not in the financial riches. The fulfillment for Paul, it was not the blessing of the Philippians. The fulfillment for Paul, it was Jesus Christ. It's so important when we want to give, to look at the people and to give to the ministries or people who find the fulfillment in God, not in their any financial riches. It's wise to give to the ministry where we receive our spiritual food. It's wise to be a part of this of the places that we get our spiritual food and to be a blessing for those places and for those ministry. Give to the people which you know they will receive it well and they will value your gifts, not take it by granted. When Paul, he get this gift from the book, from the Church of Philippians, Paul, he received these gifts with such a heart full with thankfulness. It's so important to look at the people and to give to the people which they will value the gifts that you're gonna have for them. Paul, he was able to survive and to live without the gifts from the Philippians, but Paul, when he get the gifts, we don't know the measure of the gifts, we don't know the quantity of the gifts, but we know something. The attitude of Paul, it was one so big with thankfulness, with he value Philippians and he value also their gifts. So may the Lord to lead us and to help us in the way of giving, to give to the right people, the right ministry, and to give to them with the right attitude. Now, speaking about receiving Paul, when Paul he received the gifts from the Philippians, Paul, he didn't took it for granted. You know, there are many people that if you give to them a small gift, they're gonna ask a bigger gifts. If you give to them one finger, they're gonna ask you your hand. So it's so important in these times to be wise. It's so important in these times to be wise in giving and giving to the right people. Do we have any other principle in this text that we have read it here? Yes. The second principle that I think is very important for us today is to understand that giving is an investment, not an expense. And if we look in the verse 14 to 17, nevertheless, you have done well that you share it in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once again for my necessity. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abound to your account. Like the Roman 12, we see also there are texts, but what we see here is that giving for Paul, in the way that he presented the giving, he saw it like an investment and not like expenses. The church entered into arrangement of giving and receiving. The church give materially to Paul and receive spiritually from the Lord. the receiver will be blessed and the giver as well. And if you look in the verse 17, it says that not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God will give you according to his riches, but we must to give according to our possibilities and according to our heart's generosity. To give is an honor and also responsibility, which must to be done in love and joy, not in pressure of fear. For Paul, when he received the gifts from the Philippians, he didn't see it like something for granted. He didn't see it like an expense. He saw it like an investment. It's so important to see today that when we want to give, we are investing in the kingdom of God. When he received the gifts from the Philippians, Paul, he didn't look at the Philippians and saying, "Oh, poor of you Philippians, you are so poor, and now you also, I make you more bills for you." Now, he understand the principle of investment. Brothers and sisters, when we are investing in the kingdom of God, when we are giving and helping the kingdom of God, what we are doing is not expenses, but investment. So it's so important in our lives to look to our lives and to check our hearts and to say, God, how much I'm investing my life, my gifts in your kingdom. It's so important. And Paul, he was looking in this way. And the other principle is that a receiver will be blessed and giver as well. We know that the reward for the investment will come from the Lord, not from the receiver. The expectation which we have after we give should be directed to God according to his grace. And keeping in our minds that everything we have actually is coming from him. Our reward will be manifested through grace, peace, and sometimes either prosperity. But the biggest reward will be in heaven. Make a treasure in heaven. The reward of our investment is very important to understand that it's coming from the Lord. The reward for our investment when we give, it doesn't come from the people, it doesn't come from the receiver, but it's coming from the Lord. And one of the most important thing is that the reward, we're gonna have the reward not here, we're gonna have the reward in heaven. Today everyone is thinking, invest this and you're gonna be rewarded this, invest this and you're gonna take out this. But when we give according to God's principle, we're gonna have our eyes looking to the reward that we're gonna come after this life. There are many people which they are doing a lot of things expecting a reward here. I was speaking with one of my Albanian friends and sharing the gospel with him. He was saying to me, like, one of the very different teaching that you have given to me, and it's so different than the other religions here in Macedonia. He said to me like this, "You're speaking a lot about heaven." He was saying, the main religion of Albanians here in Macedonia doesn't speak so much about heaven. But you're speaking so much about heaven, like heaven is like, I feel it's a real place. Brothers and sisters, our Jesus Christ, our Lord, he says, make a treasure in heaven, not here. So my question, how are you going to make a treasure in heaven? Obeying your life to him. Then investing the resources that God gives to you for his glory, investing your resources in his kingdom, it's a way that you're going to make a treasure in heaven. So when Paul looked at the Philippians, he didn't look at them like, "Oh, poor of you," but he looked at the Philippians with this attitude, "Oh, you have invested in your kingdom, in God's kingdom. You have done something, and God gonna bless you, and God gonna reward you." It's very important to understand that the Philippians, they were not waiting the reward from Paul. The Philippians, they were giving with all their hearts, with the mentality of investment, but not of expenses. He was looking to Paul, he was looking to the ministry that he was doing, and he was saying, "I want to invest in the kingdom of God, and I want to invest in what God is doing there through your life. The last principle that we have here in the text that we receive, we read is this: giving is a sacrifice laid on the altar for the glory of God. It's so important in this day to look at the giving with the spiritual eyes, to look to the giving with the eyes that we are giving a sacrifice. And the verse 18, he's saying like this: indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received it from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. As we know, in the book of Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, is saying, as well as the praise of our lips, it's also in the Hebrew 13:15, the praises of our lips, our bodies, good works that we are doing, Hebrew 13:16, and giving, these represent sacrifice that we are giving to the Lord. So giving is like a sacrifice. Our prayer and our giving, both of them, they are sacrifices. You know, many times we think about the sacrifice of the Old Testament. We see that in the Old Testament, the people, they were bringing lambs and cows for bringing sacrifice for their sin. But in the New Testament, in these days, what kind of sacrifice we bring to the Lord? Is the praise of our lips, according to the Hebrew 13:15? Is our bodies, according to the Romans 12? It's our good works, according to the Hebrew 13:16? Yes, those are sacrifices that we are doing and we are giving to the Lord. So giving, it's a sacrifice laid on the altar for the glory of God. I remember a couple of years ago, it was a friend of mine, and he was in such a big need. And he was going through some financial crisis, and he asked me I invite him to the church. He says, I want to come to the church, but I have no so many good clothes, because many people, they are thinking about coming to the church, dress well and all of that. And I think it's important this, but coming to the church is not the most important how you dress. But when you want to come to the church, it's very important to come with your heart there and to receive something from God. So I remember my friend, he was wanted to come to the church. He didn't have such good clothes. And I say, okay, I'm gonna help you. So I go to my closet and I open there and I say like this: I'm gonna find some clothes to help my friend. So when I open the closet, was full of clothes, and I say, which are the clothes that I don't need them anymore? In that moment, I was looking and I say, I don't need this shirt, I don't need these pants, I don't need those shoes. And then the Holy Spirit has put me a question: are those the clothes that you want to give to Jesus? In that moment, I wake up. I say, wow, I never feel like that. I go and I pray and I say, no, Jesus, if you will be my friend, that you need clothes to come to the church, I'll give you the best one. And God spoke to me this: do the same to your friend. Do the same to your friend. So I was looking with such a pain, and I choose the best clothes and I give it to my friend. Why I'm saying to you this? Because I realized in that moment that the ministry, that the love, that the giving, it's costing. If you want to see it like a sacrifice, it's not a sacrifice when you give the clothes that you don't need to someone. That's not a sacrifice. And that was looking in my life. But it's a big sacrifice when you give to someone the best clothes that you have. When you give to someone, when you give to the kingdom of God, some of the best gifts that you have. So I realized that The Bible speaks also in the book of Isaiah about the fasting. And it was one of the powerful principles there, is like bringing in your house the one that have no clothes, giving your food, share your food with the poor people, you know. And I think like in these times, there is a lot of panic and a lot of fear, and a lot of people are scared about losing their businesses, losing their economies and whatever. I think in this time, we like Christians, our hearts must be filled with peace, with joy, and with the security that God is the one that providing for us. And in these times, I think it's so important to not be afraid about giving, because we know that our Lord is providing for all our needs. So Paul, coming back here, he was seeing the ministry of giving like a sacrifice. The giver is giving to God, and through this is bringing a sacrifice. The receiver is recognizing God on the behalf of the gifts. So we see also that when Paul, he was taking the gifts from the Philippians, he didn't look just to the Philippians to give thanks, but Paul was recognizing God in the process of receiving from the Philippians, because he says that God is the one that providing for him. So it's so important, the people, when they receive something from us, it's so important that we must to be somehow like hide it, like anonyms, and God to be known. So when we want to give something to someone, it's very important to lift it up God. It's not important to know my name or your name, or you know, it's not important to we to be known, but it's so important God to be known and He to be lifted up. And people to understand that when they receive something from us, they are not receiving from us, from our names, from our, they are receiving from God. So Paul, he recognized God in the process. The giver, the Philippians, they were giving a sacrifice to who? To God. Paul was receiving their giving, was receiving their aid and their help from who? From God. So the giver is giving to God. The receiver is taking from God. This is a beautiful process. And this has something very powerful. Because the Bible says that when Jesus, he was on the earth and he was doing a lot of miracles, one of the miracles that Jesus done, he multiplied the breads, 5 breads and 2 fish for 5,000 people, and more than 5,000 people actually, there were like thousands of people there which they were hungry and they need food. So Jesus, he asked, what do you have? And the Bible says that one boy, he was bringing to Jesus 5 breads and 2 fish, and Jesus took this gift from the boy. He give thanks to God, and then in that moment, the disciples of Jesus, they are taking all this food in a miracle way that was multiplied and feed all the crowd. So if we look here, like this was something very powerful, because first of all, Jesus, he needs something from them to do the miracle. He needs what they have. So the boy bring to him, and then the miracle happened. And the miracle happened, and then all the crowd received bread and fish. So this is the way that when we give to God something, we give to God something, even small, even big, doesn't matter so much the measurement, but it's very important the attitude of the heart. It's very important when we give, to give with prayer, to give with the right attitude of the heart. The Bible says that it was a woman that she was giving 2 coins in the treasures there. She was giving 2 coins. And Jesus says that this woman, she gave more than anyone else. Why? Because she was giving with a big heart, but she was giving also according to her possibilities. And she gave everything that she has. So this woman was fully committed to this sacrifice. God is pleased with the giver as well with the receiver when he is honored and glorified and recognize it in the process. It's very important when we give to understand that everything we have from God. It's very important when we give to understand that we are investing for the kingdom of God. The other important thing is very important when we give, to give with the attitude of a sacrifice. And it's very important when we give to recognize God in the process that we are giving for Him. When we receive, the same important principle it is here. When we receive, it's very important to receive with a heart full with obedience and full with thankfulness. It's very important when we receive, to receive not from the people, but to receive from God. Everything that we have is coming from Him. It's very important when we receive, to recognize God the provider, and then in the same time, to have an attitude of appreciation for the people, that they may bless us and we receive from them. Finishing with a small conclusion, we like to share, always when we give, we should pray before and look for the right leading where we can give, occasionally or monthly. Giving is an investment for the kingdom of God when we do it with the right principles, and always God is the best market, which He will reward according to His grace. I use this best market because we have some terms here in the text which they are coming from the economical field, like investment. Now speak about the best market. When we give to God, He will reward us. He's gonna reward us spiritually. He's gonna reward us either in prosperity way, but it's very important. He's gonna reward us according to His will and according to His riches. The widow gave 2 coins, and Jesus appreciated for that. Giving is not so much about how much, but with what attitude we're gonna give. I want to stay here with this message, and I want to encourage each of us to open our hearts and to increase the attitude of giving. And about giving, it's so much that we can speak, but coming, give. You can give your time. The most important thing, give your time, give your heart, give your resources, give according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it's very important to understand that God is the one that He's providing for you and He's providing for me. And it's so important to honor God in the process of giving, not to see to the receiver or to the giver, but to see to God and to understand in this day that He will bless our lives according to His riches when we choose to obey Him. And as Paul was speaking here in the text, he was saying, I can do everything through Christ that is giving to me strength. So I believe in the same way, we can do everything through Christ that is giving to us strength. May God bless you, and may this time that we are a bit, everything, it seems like a big break or panic and fear, it's all over. Please don't allow the panic and the fear to manipulate or to control your life, but allow the Word of God, allow the power of God, allow the Holy Spirit to empower your hearts and to fill you with grace and with peace, and He will bless your life, that you can be a blessing for everyone else. So everywhere you go, this is such a big opportunity to speak about our Lord, which is giving to us peace in this period. It's such a big opportunity to share with our neighbors, which there are many of them, they are in fear. There are so many people in panic and fear. It's like the end of the world. But this is a great opportunity for me and for you to speak about our Lord, which is peace. To speak about our Lord, which is joy, which is courage, which is grace. So may God bless you. And may He help us, each of us, to be a blessing for the others. May God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Nick. That was wonderful. Yeah, it's a great opportunity. And I thank you, Nick, for your sermon and your encouragement that giving is an investment and not an expense, and that includes sacrificial giving, where we can invest in a kingdom that will not be destroyed, where moth will not corrupt, where rust will not destroy, and thieves cannot steal. So thank you so much for that, that giving is an investment and not an expense. And that's a great thing to remember as we give the Lord our time, our resources, ourselves to Him and His work and His kingdom. We couldn't have worship on Facebook Live due to copyright. So next week, if you haven't already done so, I would encourage you before the start of this broadcast to plug yourselves in to YouTube or worship the Lord in your own time before you join us online. If you have any suggestions regarding that, we're very open to hear it. So let me close this service, this broadcast, in prayer. Father God, Daddy, we give you thanks. We give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He is faithful, and His love endures forever. Cry out to the God of our salvation. Gather us and rescue us from among the nations, O Lord, so we can thank your holy name and rejoice and praise you. We worship you, O Lord God, in the splendor of your holiness. Honor the Lord for his glory and strength. Honor the Lord for the glory of his name. Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory, to receive honor and power and praise, because you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. We need you, O Lord. We were lost, but you found us. We could not find our way, but you searched us out. We were looking the other way, but you were looking for us, because while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. We were lost in utter darkness, and you brought us into your brilliant light. We all have sinned, every single one of us, and we fall short of your glory. For those who say they have not sinned deceive only themselves. Create in us a humble and contrite heart. Do not allow our sins, transgressions, our fears, and our weaknesses to harden our hearts in the deceptiveness of sin. We run to you, Father. We run to you, Daddy, Abba, Father. Why? Because you love us. We run to you because we need you. We need you more today than we did yesterday. We confess our sins before you. Wash us in your blood, O merciful Lord and Savior. Let us embrace your grace. We confess now our sins and transgressions. Cleanse us in your blood, O Prince of Peace. We confess, because you are righteous and just, to forgive us according to the blood of the everlasting covenant. Clean us, wash us, purify us, renew us. We give you our distractions. We give you our fears. We give you our anxiety. We give you our pride and our mess. You continually give us Christ, and we are in him, seated in the heavenly realms, planted with you, and nobody can snatch us from your hand, not even Satan himself. We receive your peace. We receive your pardon, your power, your presence, where there is fullness of joy. Worry, fear, and anxiety, they're not of you or your heart. Use us, Lord, cast out all the fear. We pray your perfect love upon our hearts and all of those who are burdened with fear regarding the coronavirus. Lord, we know that without a doubt that you're bigger than any threat of anything, especially illnesses and viruses. Please comfort those who are living in fear. Heal those who are infected. Let us shine. Let us speak out your goodness. Release those from the bondage that anxiety brings. Remind us that you are sovereign, that you are on the throne, and that you are in control. Pour down your peace, because you are the Prince of Peace. Help those who are experiencing fear to place their trust in you. Trust you in these times that we may be rest assured that you will be faithful to be with us to the very end of this age. Almighty God, we cast all our cares and anxieties upon you because you care for us. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, for your mercy, for your grace, for your love, for your presence, for your power. For Jesus Christ, we thank you that we are in him. We thank you that you've never failed us. We thank you that your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We commit ourselves to you this week, our families, encamp your angels round about us and give us your peace. Let our light shine bright that we may be a witness at this time. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning. We pray that it's been a blessing to you. And please share these video links afterwards. God bless you. If you have any suggestions that we may improve this transmission, please contact us and let us know. God bless you all.